Okay, I'll start then. 26 songs have been performed.
I'll start again. Sorry. It's...
What's funny?
Just the fact you're like, this well, I'll do it opening. Then. I'll do it then.
This is the big opening.
I know,
right?
I know. Sorry.
26 songs have been performed.
The public have voted.
And we have a winner of the Eurovision Song Contest 2021.
Nullpois is shameful.
Nullpois is lack of respect for Euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nullpois is no fun.
And what... what a vote it was, Martin.
My
I think it's
word.
Fair to say.
Oh,
what?
My
what
goodness.
What happened? Oof,
look, we're going to get into all of this. We've just finished watching the final of the Eurovision Song Contest. We're going to get into all of this. We're going to analyse everything. We're going to talk about what happened, that ending, everything. But first, hello, welcome. This is Nullpois. My name's Martin. That is Laura. We are two fans from the UK, which is probably something we shouldn't say very loudly at the moment.
yeah, true.
And we do love Eurovision. We don't know everything about it, and we want to talk about it. Let's dive straight in. Where do we even start?
I'm genuinely stunned and shocked by what's happened in that show, because I think to be fair, we did kind of predict this. We did say this is finally a Eurovision that's too close to call. Normally it's maybe between two people, but we had said before this before the final it was maybe between five or so, and I think that showed in the voting. It was chaotic, it was erratic, and I think it was also a little bit harsh, don't you agree,
Martin?
Well,
there were some real moments where you could hear the audience gasping. Maybe we'll get onto that in a moment. Let's start at the top, though, of the leaderboard and say a big congratulations to Italy and Maneskin for winning. Well done. They put on a brilliant performance, and as they said, just before they reprised their song at the end, rock and roll never dies. They are very much proving that with another win for the heavy metal. Doesn't happen all the time. It has happened in the past. Doesn't always happen. And yeah, wow. What did you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't, to be honest, I wouldn't say they are heavy metal, really. They're quite rock. For Eurovision, they are. Yeah. But yeah, I agree. They put on a great performance. I'll be honest, when I watched the performance, I thought, is this going to win? And I wasn't quite sure. It felt like it had come quite late in the day as well, but they pulled through. They got the public vote. Fair play to them. They put a great performance on stage, and it's a catchy song as well. And I for one, am very looking forward to going to Italy next year. So I was quite happy with that result.
Never in a million years did I think we would see a top three that looks like Italy, France and Switzerland.
Yeah, can I just say, top three all non in English, which is amazing. And quite exciting, I think.
Yeah, quite exciting. And I do wonder, my dad, who I was watching this with, my dad mentioned that maybe one of the reasons that either France or Switzerland didn't end up taking the title in the end was because France and Switzerland both sort of similar songs in that they're both in French, they're both quite good, and it maybe split the public vote, which saw Italy then take the win. Could have been
possibly. I mean, like, Italy were always favourites to win before the final start. I mean, not always, but in the last sort of week or so they were top of the bookies, and I think probably just because they brought that panache, they brought that excitability, they were quite different to the stage and they really upped that performance. I kind of feel a bit sorry for Malta, though, because I really felt they also brought something. Destiny brought something to the stage, and I think they're a bit shortchanged. They weren't even in the top five.
No, they weren't. I have to say, though, when I was watching the performance from Destiny, and she gave it her all, for me, though, on the night, it didn't quite cut through in the way that I thought it was going to. Because I had it winning and I was telling anyone who'd listened, yeah, it's going to be Malta, not an issue. And then on the night, I thought, you know what? I'm not sure this is sort of standout winning performance.
And I think that is the case with Eurovision. It is totally about, you know, the way things are played against each other. And, you know, when you're watching things, do you take something in? And I think a lot of people have made the note, and I think it's fair to say this more than ever because of the way the points lie. You really have to stand out in Eurovision now. It's not just about having an all right song. You've really got to do something different. And maybe Malta just didn't do that.
I think we should talk a little bit about the TV show itself, you know, and how it was put on. And I wanted to start by doing a very kind of cheesy thank you to the Dutch government, because they made the Eurovision Song Contest a test event, which meant for COVID, which meant that they were allowed to have a crowd. And my word, thank you so much for doing that. It made such a difference to the atmosphere. Can you imagine if they would have had to put that on with no audience at all? The difference would have been incredible. It was brilliant, and it felt so much just like a Eurovision we know and love. You could barely tell. If you watched this back in sort of, I don't know, 2019, 2018, you would never really have known that there'd been a big global pandemic. And you know, really, there were a couple of things, of course, that were changed. And obviously with Iceland, we talked about, and Duncan Lawrence not able to perform. So there were things, and people were walking around with masks in the backstage. But really, to look at it, very, very well put on as a show, given the conditions.
Yeah, and you know, the interval, as much as we like to kind of like poke a bit of fun at this sort of interval acts and all that kind of thing, very tight, that, you know, they were fun to watch. The presenters, I think, were all on point. There wasn't really...
All four of them.
Yes, all right, Martin. But I feel like, you know, there wasn't loads of that kind of awkward... There was a bit, okay, there always is, it's Eurovision, but there wasn't loads of that kind of awkward presenterness. And there could have been, especially because of, you know, I imagine, considering the sort of, you know, amount of time they had to like put on all these stages and put everything on, I think it all ran like clockwork, really. And I'm just I'm just really glad, apart from, I know there were some issues with Iceland and, as you said, with Duncan Lawrence, I'm just really glad. Can we breathe a sigh of relief? It's happened. It actually happened. Can you believe it? An event with that many people and performers. It happened. It went through.
Yeah.
They did it.
It did. Yeah. And it feels great. And I remember I was thinking that actually when we heard the Eurovision theme being played at the, you know, when the clock struck at 8 o'clock here in the UK, Eurovision came on the TV. And I thought, it means they've done it.
Yeah,
you know, they have put it on. They've managed it. Even if it all goes to pot from here on in, they've still managed to put on a final of the Eurovision Song Contest. You can't take that away from them. My word, yeah, hugely well done. A really, really great, great effort from the Dutch broadcaster. Fantastic stuff. Really, really, really good. Let's get back then to what we were actually seeing on our screens. Do you want to, A, Cress, continue to talk about some of the winners and losers, or B, talk about the bits in the middle?
I think we've got to... We have to touch on the UK, haven't we? I mean,
it's the elephant in the room.
We're a UK podcast, basically.
Yeah. Well, we now have another act to add to our list of countries and entries that have got nul pois. I said to you privately, didn't I, at the beginning of this, I said, well, don't worry, you know, it's really hard to get nul pois now because of this new voting system where you have the jury vote and then additionally a load more from the public. It's, you know, different to the way they used to do it.
Well, I kept saying to people, even with all the juries, I was like, well, I kind of expect that from the jury. I wouldn't expect us to be in the top 12 for that song. But I thought the public, maybe one or two places, might give us maybe one or two votes, you know? But I was just waiting for that. And when they said no points as well, I was like, oh my God, double null pois. Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it as well. Absolute. Just, I had my hands over my face. I just couldn't believe. However, having said that, and here begins my rant. I apologise in advance.
Go for it.
I think the UK deserved nul pois. I really do. I thought it was a poor performance. I thought every aspect of what we saw tonight was subpar. The song was borderline average. Mm. It was just about okay. It wasn't embarrassing as a song that we heard in amongst the others. The performance was weak. His voice was weak. The staging was weak.
Yeah.
It was really, really bad. James Newman looked like some sort of drug dealer who worked in a small suburb. He came on out of breath. He was out of tune.
He was out of breath, yeah.
And it was just weak. And if you compare it to any other act...
No, I guess it's true.
And you had 18-year-olds doing this. 18-year-olds. The quality...
18-year-olds are fitter, Martin. They're able to breathe a bit better.
they had professionalism and sort of poise and able to hold themselves on that stage a million times better than he did. I'm so sorry, and I know that a lot of work will have gone into that from the UK side, and not to take anything away from James Newman, I'm sure he gave it his all. I'm sure he did, and I saw that the performance meant the world to him, but I'm sorry, it just wasn't there for me. And I'm a little disappointed, not because we got Nul Poir, because I say we deserve it, that we don't seem to be able to produce anything better than that.
Mm. It's weird, isn't it? Because maybe we're just like a bit... It makes me check myself as a UK Eurovision fan, and it makes me think, well... Because I kept saying to people, I think about 23rd. I said to them, I thought Germany, Spain, and possibly something else like Moldova, potentially, because they were quite out of tune. I was thinking, I don't think we're going to do great, but I think Germany, Spain, something else are going to be below us. But then I was like, was I completely out of it? Like... both jury and the public have given Nul Poir. So am I just being a typical UK person, just arrogance, thinking that we deserve better than we got? I don't know. I just don't feel he deserved double Nul Poir. I think he deserved something. I felt I thought the song was positive. I don't know. Maybe I'm just...
I don't know. I think if you look at that performance on the night, regardless of who you are and who you represent and all that, It was the worst performance on the night. I'm not saying it was necessarily the worst song.
I think, yeah.
But it was the worst performance.
I think Spain. I think Spain was worse.
No, I disagree. I think Spain had a much better performance. He was so much more professional. He was in tune, for starters. He seemed to really... there was just no presence from James Newman. Mm. It just lacked so much.
But do you know what? I just want to say, and maybe we'll touch on this on the next episode when we go into more detail. I think we have to think... What next for the UK now? Because I genuinely think there was an optimism about this song in that it was it wasn't amazing, but it was going in the right direction. Do you know what I mean? And I just don't know where we go, because it's so crushing. Do you know what I worry? I worry that people start saying, well, we shouldn't bother.
Oh, well, they will. They will start saying that. They absolutely will say that. And of course, you look at the UK as one of the big five, and... yet again, you're sort of saying, well, this song obviously doesn't deserve to be in the final. It would not have made it through a semi-final.
No,
it can't possibly have. It's on the, it's on the absolute floor. Maybe that's the question. Should we really be part of the big five? But then you could say the same about Germany, who only got 3 points.
Well, no, and Spain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and Spain, yeah.
So, yeah,
another member of the big five. But then Italy won.
We should just say four countries in general and three out of the big five got no points from the public. So four... I can't remember a Eurovision where that's happened. Four countries got no points from the public. And it is this system where obviously... It doesn't mean obviously nobody's voted for us. It's the way they, amalgamate things, obviously. But I can't remember that. I remember it last time, I think in 2019, where maybe one country... I think it might have been us again, the UK, where they said, I'm sorry, no points. But then they went on to the next country and they... And I mean, there's so much to look at in terms of, like, for example, San Marino. I thought it was going to do a lot higher than it did.
Yeah, well, I think I had it in my top three, didn't
you
I,
did,
at one
didn't
point.
You did, didn't you? Yeah. I mean, I'm glad I didn't go there, but yes. Oh.
Yes, well, we won't get into my predictions because they're obviously way off, a million miles out, and we're always going to be. Anyway, poor old James. I do feel sorry for James, but at the same time...
He reacted to it well, I think. He reacted, he sort of stood up and went, you know, and I'll be honest, I was kind of glad in the arena people were shocked and were like, no, and sort of, because it shows that there's still some backing behind the UK and maybe behind the hardcore Eurovision fans, but people aren't thinking, well, you know, you deserved it. I was glad that people sort of were shocked and gasped at the double null part, because I just don't think he deserved it. I don't think it was a great song, but I do think it's a shame that he's gone away with that feeling that he's failed when it wasn't. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm deluded. I didn't think it was as bad as that.
I'm sorry to say this, and I feel bad for saying it, but I think you are deluded. And I think it.
Oh well,
was
we'll
that
have
bad.
Another beer then.
Yeah. Yep. Another one down the old hatch. Anyway, no. Well done, look, James, but yeah. At the same time, not well done at all. let's move on. Let's talk about some more positive things and some of the other little bits that happened during Eurovision. Any people who. If you're listening to this podcast and you have been listening to it for a very long time, you'll know that Laura and I have an obsession with the idea of Ruslana in a taxi.
Yes!
Because way back before the 2020 contest,
was it like
we heard...
2019?
Yeah, it was... Yes, around that time. We heard that they were going to be doing this thing where they were going to be having carpool karaoke, but it's not going to be called that. And when they were going to get some of the old Eurovision stars to go round in a taxi. And for some reason, we started laughing about the idea. Of Ruslana in a taxi, finally,
she
was finally in a taxi.
I can't believe they kept those tapes from that time, and they were like, "Well, we'll just reuse them whenever it happens, we'll use it again." And they did, and there she was singing away in a taxi. God bless her.
Yeah, why not? Absolutely fine. There were some good moments, wasn't there, when they went across to some of the votes from various different countries. The happy birthday to me from the Bulgarian
person. That was genuinely, awesome. I think, my favorite. And it's a happy birthday to me. It's just like, I actually put that in. I was like doing this with a couple of mates and stuff. And I think I must have been ahead of people because I just put that line in the server. I just went, oh, happy birthday to me. And people went, oh, happy birthday. I was like, no, I'm not saying it's my birthday. I'm saying this. That's what the person said. But,
and then big shout to the Eurovision
Swedish?
Story of Fire Saga movie.
Ya Ya Ding Dong! Play Ya Ya Ding Dong!
With the Ya Ya Ding Dong guy, who I think
the Icelandic
just
guy,
ever so slightly took the joke a little bit, just one
did,
step
he?
Further than
it
needed
like,
to
right,
go. But
well, we get it now, yeah. Mate. Yeah, yeah. Say it once or twice, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be Eurovision without some awkwardness and some jokes that went further than
for
they
sure.
really needed to. So, you know, I was all sort of fine for that. A lot of awkward conversations as well, which you might not have seen if you were watching outside the UK, because they probably happened during your advert break, but we got a lot of the presenters walking round commentary booths.
Oh God, every time. Why did they decide to do that though?
Because they need to fill it. They need to fill the time.
I know, but they feel it so badly. They could just be having a chat with themselves, but every time it's just them sort of, it's like they're kind of opening a door, and genuinely each time the people don't know what's happening. They go, yes, hello, and then just try and have a feed off conversation. And you can see at one point the camera kind of panning away as if clearly the cameraman was trying to say,
we're ready to end this now.
So
that was another wonderful moment. But actually, I'd say on the whole, there weren't huge numbers of really awkward moments. I think it flowed pretty well for the majority of it. We've probably rabbited on for far too long. We are going to be bringing you a bit more of an in-depth look at this sort of in the clear light of day, really, and where we think the competition will go going forward. We're going to be pulling out some of our best bits from the last few days of semi-finals and finals, and that's going to be coming in your feed very, very soon. But Cress, before we just disappear into the night, your takeaway moment from this evening?
Oh, I mean, it's got to be the UK getting double the poor, because I was just, not in a positive way, but just in a, what moment? I think that the entire nation was just shocked.
Yeah, I think mine is that moment where we suddenly realised that all of our predictions, well, certainly all of my predictions and everything I thought was completely wrong, and we were about to see either Italy or France. My word, what would it have meant if France...
Look, can I just say France? I mean, put France as third and Italy as first, so I wasn't that far off.
Yeah, and of course, Switzerland as well. Those three countries in the running, wow. That was real kind of heart-in-your-mouth moment. Just, wow, incredible. And you could see how much it meant to all of them involved. Amazing. Thank you for your company here on Nullpod. It's been really, really good fun. Please do keep the comments coming in. We really want to hear from you. What did you think? What do you think about the result? If you're in the UK, or even if you're not, what do you make of the idea that the UK got Nullpod twice in one night? We'd love to hear from you. And Cress has those details.
I do indeed. So you can get in contact with us. You can tweet us at @poisnull. You can send us a post on Instagram, comment on our Instagram, Nullpois Podcast on Instagram, or send us an email, nullpoispodcast@gmail.com.
And until next time, thank you very much for listening. And we'll see you again on another episode of Nullpois.